today. And Lord, as we come and we look at your word, we pray that we'll see what that the seas do obey your voice and the mountains do bow to you. So, Father, be with us now as we look, as we absorb, as we receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Be seated. Be seated. I tell you, as the children are going, I meant to tell you a couple of weeks ago, but we have ordered the chairs, and we were really hoping that they would be here this week, that you would be sitting in them. That's kind of what they told us. That hasn't panned, but maybe they'll be here, you know, this week, and before New Year's, at least. We were hoping before Christmas, and so we still got one more week, and then maybe, but they're hopefully going to be here. Just wanted you to know that. Okay, so is that good? Is that cool? Okay, we're in our series called Offering and Sacrifice. I want you to do something for me today, if you will. I want you to imagine that you and your family are the only people left on the planet. The earth has just experienced tremendous destruction. You and your family and a few creatures and animals that you have protected are all the lives that are left. For 370 days, you have been locked away into this situation, and there's been death all around you for 370 days, and you're hopeless, and you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know where tomorrow is going to take you. It's been a traumatic experience, and it's a distressful time. You don't know where tomorrow is going to lead, and you find yourself on a remote mountain. There's no food. There's no water. You're distressed and disturbed. There's no shelter. There's no pharmacy. There's no grocery store. There's none of the conveniences that you're so used to. Here's the thing I want you to think about. What is the first thing you do? When you get to go back out and you get to experience life again, what is the first thing that you do? We're given a situation like this, and of course the book of Genesis, and talking about Noah. I want you to see what the first thing Noah did. Let me read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, and it says, "So Noah came out together with his sons." Would you say that back to me, "together with"? "Together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives." All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, and one kind after another. Then, I need you to say then. Then, because here's what Noah did, the first thing he did. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it." The first thing that Noah did is he came out with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. The first thing he did was build an altar and offer sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. Now, that's kind of strange, because there are only two kinds of every animal, right? And so now he's extinguishing kinds and species. Contrary to what most of us have been told all of our lives, and probably contrary to what you have told your children, that's not accurate. There were more than two kinds of all the animals. Let me read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to make a point here. It's not the primary point, but it's a point I'm going to make here. In Genesis 7, 2 through 3, it says, "Take with you seven." How many? "Seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal." Now, the difference is there was clean and unclean animals, right? There was kinds with hoofs and all these different kinds of furs and all these kinds of things, and a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, and keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. Noah took the seventh of all the clean, and he gave an offering and a sacrifice. Now, what I want to point out here and make sure that we all see is that in your most distressed times, in the times of your life when you don't know where you're going to go tomorrow, in the times of your life when everything is upside down and topsy-turvy and everything is crazy in your life, in the times of your life when it seems like there is nothing right and everything is turned upside down and there's just death all around you, in those times, in those bleak times of your life, God's going to make certain that there is something that you can give an offering and a sacrifice. There's something that you can offer to Him, and an offering and a sacrifice. And here's why He's going to make sure. Because He understands you need Him worse at those times. You need Him more at those times than any other time in your life. Noah needed God right then. Am I right? And at those times in your life, God's going to make sure that there's something that you can offer and there's something that you can sacrifice to Him, something that will cause you to connect with God. You need God at those times in our life, in those hopeless times, in those dreadful times, in those times of our lives. We need to connect with Him. On the back of your gateways, I've got you some questions for today. Answer this one for me. Do you find a way to give, or do you find a way of stop giving, offering, and sacrifice when you go through desperate times? What do you do? See, at those times, you need Him more than ever. You don't run from God, you connect to God. What was the first thing that Noah did when he got off of his ark? He built an altar and he gave offerings and sacrifices. His first thought was to give to God, not to build my house, not to find me food, not to find me shelter, but to connect to God. I want you to attempt to imagine, if you can, the traumatic experience that these people went through. We're given a lot of information about Noah. Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9 gives us all this information about Noah's experience. But it's not told us the trauma that they went through. That had to be a terrible, traumatic time. 370 days in this situation where there's death all around you. Can you imagine as the flood began, people banging on that big boat and knocking, let me in, let me in, let me in. And Noah and them were hearing this stuff going on. And as those days went on, there was death floating all around. There were bodies of animals and bodies of people all around. 370 days, the trauma. 370 days of being cooped up with animals and seven people. You know, 370 days of this kind of situation. I mean, there's trauma. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. They don't know if there's ever going to be land again. They don't know. Trauma. See, by all right, they should die. They should have died, right? Everybody else died. But for some strange reason, Noah and his family lived. For some strange reason, Noah was selected. Now, here's what I want to try to say here. In your life, I'll bet most of us, if we were to look back, that we'll find maybe a car crash that we should have died in, right? But we lived. We had a sickness or an illness that should have taken us out, but God had mercy on us and God spared us and we're still here. There was an accident sometime along the way. You should have died, but you're still alive and you're still here today. You can think back about your parents. Think back about that with me. Maybe before you were even a thought, much less conceived, your parents had something to happen, a car crash or an illness or an accident that should have killed them, but it didn't. And had they died, you would not be here, and your children would not be here, and your grandchildren would not be here, and nothing would be coming from here on out because of that. But it didn't happen because God had mercy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you already go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and give him a hand clap. But I'm not done yet. You go ahead and think about your children. Probably already, if they're very old, they've already had a car crash. They could have died, but they didn't. They could have been sick. They could have had an accident. Something's happened probably already in their lives. But God had mercy on them. Noah said, God, you had mercy on me. And the first thing I'm going to do when I get off of this boat, I'm going to build me an altar. And I'm going to connect. I need you now. And I'm thankful for you. Thank you for your mercy. I could be dead, but we're still alive and we're here. I was 10 years old. It was 50 years ago. You said, Delbert, how can that be? You're 42 years old. I was 10 years old. It was 50 years ago, and something like that. And this time of the year, my parents had gone to a Christmas party, taking me with them, me and my sister. And the adults were inside the house doing what adults do, and kids were outside doing what kids do. We were playing hide and seek. I remember what we were playing. I was very familiar with the home. I was very familiar with the property. It was in a rural area. went there all the time, and but unbeknown to me, this particular day, the owner had built a barbed wire, three-strand barbed wire fence, and had set it up. And we were playing, and I was running down this incline as fast as my little 10-year-old legs would carry me, plus down the incline, going a little faster than my little 10-year-old legs would carry me, and I hit that barbed wire fence. Couldn't see it, didn't know it was there. I bounced off of it like a rubber ball off a block wall, and I knew it cut me because my little 10-year-old body was just high enough to get that top strand of wire. Barb was sitting there waiting on me, got me right here, come up and got me here. I fell back. I grabbed my neck. I could feel the blood gushing into my hand, the warmth, the wetness. Knew it was my blood. My shirt was wet. I got to my feet, and I staggered toward the house. Collapsed. The kids saw me. The other children come running over to me, saw what was happening, ran and got my mom and my dad. Told them I was bleeding. They come running out with towels. Took those towels and wrapped them around my neck and my throat. Threw me in the back seat of a car. Daddy drove 100 miles an hour. They called the hospital, said we were coming. Daddy drove 100 miles an hour. I remember laying in the back seat of that car on my mama's lap, looking up at her, in and out of consciousness. She had her hand on my head and holding that towel on my throat, keep me from bleeding to death. Got me there. They rushed me in. Hospital went into alert situation in the emergency room. Took me in, started working on me. A little while later, I stabilized. Doctors came out and told my parents, said, we don't know why he didn't bleed to death. He should have bled out. And the main thing is we don't understand why that didn't just rip his larynx all to pieces. He should not be able to speak. His larynx, my voice box, should have been ruined. He's a lucky boy. You know, I think back about that now. I don't think luck had anything to do with it. I don't think luck had anything. You know what? The Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Delbert found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Marty found grace. Mad found grace. Daryl found, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you see what? I was supposed to get married. I was supposed to have children. I was supposed to have grandchildren. I was supposed to father all of that. I was supposed to build something. I'm supposed to be here right now telling you this message so that you can understand when you get off of your ark, you need to build you an altar and you need to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm still here. Thank you, my children are still here. Thank you, my grandchildren are still here. It didn't have to be that way. You had mercy on me. Well, glory. Next question for you. Has God ever shown you that kind of mercy? You need to write it down. You need to tell him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, I'm alive. Thank you, my children are alive. Thank you, my grandchildren, and I got generations coming. Whoa. Noah needed the Lord. He needed God in a desperate time, in a desperate situation in his life. Noah was grateful for God's mercy. So the first thing Noah did was build an altar. And the first thing Noah did was say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And what happened here is the Lord so appreciated Noah's heart of gratitude, and Noah's heart of need for him, that God says this. This is paraphrased, but I'll read it to you as the Bible says it. God said this. God says, that smells good. Now you got to get a picture. Noah's burning these animals, you see, the sacrifice, and God smells it. He says, that smells good. Let me read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 through 22. The Lord smelled, and here's my title for today. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart. Where did he say it? In his heart. He didn't say it in his nose. He said it in his heart. He smelled the pleasing aroma and he said in his heart, Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though their inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again, say never again to me. Never again will I destroy all living creatures. as I have done. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. Now, you understand, this is not my topic, but you know, also, I can't just go through that and not say something, right?
Come on.
You know me.
Say it.
Come on. Never again. So the Lord's not going to trick us next time with atomic bombs or nuclear missiles, right? He's not going to do that because how long is it?
Never.
It's never again. He's not going to let stars fall out of the sky and hit on the earth and destroy the earth. It's not until the stars fall out of the sky and hit the earth. It's never again. Now that makes me happy. I don't understand why that doesn't make everybody happy. That makes me happy because I ain't got to worry about it, number one, but neither do my children have to worry about it, number two. Mac and Jax and John David and Michael Lance, they don't have to worry about that either. And their children don't have to worry. You know what, 100 or 200? How many generations? All generations are included. Never again, right? Never again. 100, 1,000 years down the road, I ain't got to worry. Come on. They're going to get to love. They're going to get to marry. They're going to get to produce. They're going to get to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
Because it's never again. I should have titled it Never Again, but that was just a little. It's amazing to me how giving, offering, and sacrifice, when you're in need of God in your life, and when you're appreciative of all He's done for you and you're grateful for His mercy, how that touches the heart of the Lord God. You see, it says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in His heart. It's kind of like He smelled it in His heart. At any rate, it got to His heart, right? He didn't smell it. He didn't say it with His nose. He said it with His heart. The offering and the sacrifice went to the heart of God. I want you to know that when you give offerings and sacrifices, and you do it with a grateful attitude, and you do it in need of God. When you do that with that kind of attitude, it makes God love you more. He said, "Devil, He already loves me." Oh, yes, He does. He loves you so much. But I want you to tell you, He loves you more when you give offering and sacrifices. Prove it to me. Okay, I will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8, it says this: "You must each make up your own mind as to how you should give." Now, He's not talking about tithes and offerings here. What He's talking about is offering and sacrifice. Tithes and offerings already decided, right? You got to make up your mind on this one. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Now, watch this part. And God will generously provide for you. Noah, He's going to generously provide for you. And you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and your grandchildren, and your children, and whomever else that you want to give something to. Because you gave with a grateful and a cheerful heart. Well, Delbert, He already loves me. He loves you so much, He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. That's how much He loves you. He loves you. But He can love you more. He can love you like He loved Noah. And He can give you dominion over your whole world. That's what He's about to do here for Noah. He wants to give you something special. Next question I have for you. How do you believe you give offering and sacrifice? Reluctantly or cheerfully? Do you look forward to the opportunity to give? Or do you feel like somebody's pulling your teeth? You know, you don't want to do it. You just do it. That's what Christians do, so I'll do it. Or do you look forward to it because you know it's touching God's heart and it's pleasing Him? It's making Him happy. It says it was a pleasing aroma. The King James Version says that He smelled a sweet savor and said in His heart, sweet savor. It's like honey to the Lord. It's honey to Him. It's sweet and it's pleasant. It makes Him happy. It's happy. I was thinking about that. Noah's giving, you got to get the picture now. He's giving this offering. He's burning this flesh, right? He's burning this meat. Is that what smelled good to the Lord? Was it that burning flesh that just turned the Lord on? I mean, Noah says, man, I love this smell. You know what I started to do? I was going to bring me a big piece of meat in here and burn it so we could all get the smell to see what was so good to God about that smell. But I knew that some of us have breathing situations, and so I just didn't do that. I did something like that one time. It didn't turn out as well as I thought it would. We'd all go out of here stinking like burnt meat, but I didn't do it. But I want you to know, was it that the smell that was good to God? No, it's not. And you got to understand, see, I could take off here and I could go to Romans 12:1 and talk about how we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God and how we're to burn our flesh, our carnal natures. I could go there. But see, that's not what Noah was doing here. Noah wasn't dealing with his carnal nature here. What Noah was saying is, God, I am grateful. Thank you for sparing me. Noah was saying to God, I need you right now more than I've ever needed you in my whole life. I need you now. This is what Noah was saying to the Lord. This is why he was giving it. And when a heart brings offerings and sacrifices like that to God, when we come to that with that gratitude and that attitude in our hearts to the Lord, oh, the Lord says, oh, that's sweet. Oh, that makes me happy. That's the smell that God likes. It's not burning meat. Who likes burning meat? What God likes is a heart that wants to give happily and gratefully and cheerfully, and wants to give knowing that it needs. And so when this happened, when Noah's burning this and God says, boy, that really smells sweet, that really smells good, that's pleasant to me, watch what happens now. After he smells this offering and this sacrifice, Genesis 9:1 says, then, say then to me one more time, then God blessed Noah and his sons. Now watch the progression. Noah gets off, builds an altar, offers sacrifices and offerings. Now he's pleased God. Now it's not just Noah, but it's Noah and his sons. It's Noah and his children. Parents, we'll never know what the offering and the sacrifices that we do, how it causes a blessing to come upon our children and generations to come. I want you to watch the progression here. Let me finish reading the scripture. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. In other words, what he's saying here is, you're going to make it. I know, Noah, it doesn't look good. I know, Noah, it looks bad right now. I know you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tonight. You don't know what's going to happen the next minute. But Noah, I'm telling you, you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply. Shem's going to multiply. Ham's going to multiply. Japheth's going to multiply. You're going to have children and grandchildren and grandchildren and grandchildren. You're going to be okay, Noah. And besides that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you dominion over this whole earth. I'm going to let you have dominion over the animals, over the trees, over the plants, over the fish, over the water. You can have it all. No, I'm not going to let you survive, Noah. I'm going to let you have the best life you can possibly have. I'm going to try to make it as comfortable for you as I possibly can. How many could use a little bit of that right now? How many of you could use just a little bit of being comfortable? Huh? Don't you? That's what offering and sacrifice is. It not only gets you, but now it starts going down to your children. Offering and sacrifice. And he says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you and your sons. Let me read you this out of Matthew Henry's commentary. It says, note, God will graciously bless, that is, do well for, those who sincerely bless Him. Those that are truly thankful for the mercies they have received, take the readiest way, the fastest way, the best way, the readiest way to have them confirmed and continued to them. What he's saying here is that God responds to our offering and our sacrifices, and He responds well. He responds by giving us dominion over our situations, over our bleak times, over our tough times of life, when we don't know what's going to happen. God responds, and He responds well. He wants to give you the most comfortable life that you've ever experienced, but it's going to go back to your offering and sacrifice. Genesis 9:8 then says this, then God said to Noah and to his sons, now watch the progression, Noah and who? And to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with what? So it started with Noah, and it got his sons, and now what's it got? It started with one guy. doing the first thing, giving offering and sacrifice. One guy started a blessing for his children and for his grandchildren and for his great-grandchildren and for 100 and 200 and 500. And do you know what? You know, I have to be a descendant of Noah. I wonder if I'm a Shem or a Ham or a Jacob. But do you know what? You're a descendant. So you're hooked up into this thing that Noah did 6,000-7,000 years ago. So God was serious, wasn't he? He really meant that. Because he still hasn't destroyed the earth. We're still getting blessed. You see, what I'm wanting you to see is the power of offering and sacrifice is not just for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your great-grandchildren. It's for the descendants forever. Forever. Noah recognized his need for the Lord. He recognized his gratitude and gave his gratitude for God's mercy. And he gave an offering and a sacrifice. He brought covenant to his family through offering and sacrifice. See, that's what God wants to do with you and me. He wants you to have a personal covenant. You're in Noah's, but he wants to give one to you as well. Let me show you this in Genesis 9, 12 through 16. It says this, and God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me." This sign of the covenant. Now, let me stop. There's no other covenant that has this sign. None. Somebody tell me what the sign of this covenant is. The rainbow. No other covenant has this sign. This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. How many generations to come? Will there ever be a generation that's not in this covenant? No. I'm going to make this covenant with you and for all generations. I have set my rainbow. How many has ever seen the rainbow? You've seen the covenant. You're a part of the covenant. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Woo! Yeah. Woo! Yeah. The covenant rainbow we enjoy regularly began with Noah's building an altar and giving offering and sacrifice. Noah's offering and sacrifice reached the heart of God, and from that God created something brand new. Never been a rainbow before. But there's been a rainbow ever since. No other covenant has such a beautiful seal upon it. See, the rainbow is here and it reminds God of His faithfulness to us. But it reminds us of our faithfulness to Him, and that God is faithful. But you know what? It should remind us also of Noah and his sacrifice and offering. When we look at that rainbow, we should think, you know what? That's there because Noah made a covenant with God. Noah needed God. Noah was grateful to God for His mercy. Noah assured us. Noah's covenant with God assures us of a covenant today. Noah's covenant assures us that we are protected from a destruction today. Last question I have for you today. What are you assuring your generations to come? What are you doing that's assuring that your children and your grandchildren 100, 200, 1,000 years from now are going to be blessed? Have you ever thought about how that every covenant that the Lord's ever made, He's made because and through offering and sacrifice? Noah's was. In a little while, Abraham's going to make a covenant with God. It's through offering and sacrifices. We talked about that one. A little later, Israel's going to make a covenant with God, and it's going to be through offering and sacrifice. A little later, David's going to make a covenant. Then Solomon's going to make a covenant. Of course, the new covenant that we have today with Jesus Christ is made through offering and sacrifice, the offering and the sacrifice that he gave of himself for you and I. My point is this, is that if you're going to have a personal covenant with God, and if it's going to go on to your generations to come, your children, grandchildren, and on down the road, you have got to participate in offering and sacrifice. And of course, I'm not talking about animals, am I? I'm talking about animals. Neither am I just talking about your money, your precious money. Not talking about that. And it is precious. I didn't mean that facetiously. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talents. I'm talking about your love. I'm talking about ministering to people. I'm talking about your prayers. I'm talking about you offering yourselves as a living sacrifice. I'm talking about your giving. I'm talking about you, everything that you are. You offer that to the Lord, and if you will, then he says, you know what? I'm going to put a rainbow in your heart. And every time I look at you, I'm going to say, I need to find a new way to bless him or her. You know what? And there's this kid. I got to bless him. Oh, there's Jack and Max. I got to bless them. I know they just messed up, but I'll bless them anyway. How many of you have ever messed up, but God blessed you anyway? Come on. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. Oh, and a thousand. Oh, he goes way back to Delbert. Oh, I got to bless him. I got to bless her. See, through offering and sacrifice, we set something up that keeps on going. That keeps on going. Let me sum it all up. Express your need to the Lord, especially in bleak times. Tell him you need him. You need him worse now than ever. And be grateful for the Lord's mercy. He's extended you mercy. He's extended all of us mercy and our children's mercy. And you're still here. Build your altar. Present yourself as an offering and a sacrifice to him. And do that with a cheerful and a grateful heart. And if you will, he'll love you to pieces because that's so sweet to him. And it makes him so happy. It's pleasant to him. And every time he looks at you, he's going to see that rainbow that you created, that covenant that you created. And he's going to bless you, and he's going to bless your children. He's going to bless your generations for as long as there's seed time and harvest, as long as there's cold and heat, as long as there's summer and winter, and as long as there's day and night, God says, I will bless you, your children, and your descendants to come. And it all hooks up to offering and sacrifice. That is the power of offering and sacrifice. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father, let us get this. Let us get this in our hearts.